Salvation of All, by W.B. Screws. The Pilgrim's Messenger. Have a pattern of sound words which you hear from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. -11 Timothy 1:13. Published monthly by W.B. Screws, Glenville, Georgia. 25 cents a year. Volume XXVII. October, 1947. Number 3. Entered at the post office at Glenville, Ga. As second class matter. If you have a doctrine that forces you to ignore part of the scripture, you ought to be uneasy about it. Every passage has its place. How can one be sent into everlasting punishment, Matt. 25, 46 and yet be saved, together with all other men, I Tim. 2, 3-6. The word that is translated everlasting is aeonian, and always denotes a time period. It is not endless. This is proven by Exodus 40:15, where it is said that the sons of Aaron shall be an everlasting priesthood. They were a priesthood for a long time, but they have ceased to be such. Thus everlasting will come to an end. It is the word aeonian, or, as we render it in English, aeonian, which means in relation to the aeon or the aeons. And an aeon is the longest segment of time, but it is not endless duration. The session mentioned in Matt 25:31-46 will take place just after the establishing of the kingdom of the Son of David. The same one is the Son of Mankind. It is as such that he will deal with the nations. These are not individuals of the nations, but nations as units. Endless life and endless punishment for individuals is not in view. It is aeonian life and aeonian chastisement for the nations. There is no grace of faith mentioned. Blessing is based on conduct, how each nation has treated his brethren, who are the Jewish preachers who will have been giving out the gospel of the kingdom just before the scene shown in this chapter. Those who make this a matter of endless life, ignore the fact that, in other passages, grace and faith are mentioned in connection with the salvation of individuals, and that in this instance, there is no mention of either grace or faith. The Son of Mankind, King of the Kingdom of Israel, will deal with all other nations, preparatory to annexing them to his kingdom, for the entire world must come under his sway. The United States went to Yalta, and to other places, to attend the Big Four meetings. Not the entire population of the United States, but the nation went in the person of one man. That man was President Roosevelt. Thus will it be when the Son of Mankind calls for all nations to attend a meeting in Jerusalem, where he will be reigning at the time. A representative of each nation will attend the meeting. The Son of Mankind will deal with each one separately. Those that have well treated his brethren will be invited into the kingdom with its bliss. Those who have ill treated his brethren will be consigned to aeonian chastening. This will be in fire, figuratively speaking. They could not live in literal fire, and the word used denotes a continuation of the chastening. It will be the fire of affliction. It is called chastening. The word for punishment is not in the passage. It is kalasis, which is chastening. Sis is equal to our ing. Therefore, kalasis means that the chastening will go on, at least for some time. It will not mean sudden annihilation. A case of chastening during the progress of that kingdom is found in Isaiah 19. It is a picture of God's chastening visited on Egypt in that day. No doubt Egypt is a nation that will be placed on the left hand. The chastening of that nation will be aeonian. It is in relation to the aeon, the particular aeon or age. Let us not think that aeonian means for the entire aeon. It means in relation to the aeon. Read Isaiah 19. You will see the severe chastening, and the result. Egypt, my people, is a pronouncement of the beneficent results of chastening. Assyria is mentioned in the same connection. Nothing is said about that notion being chastened, but there is no need to mention it. Egypt is given as an example. Assyria, whether or not it is chastened, will be regarded as the work of his hands. Nations that are judged adversely will be subjected to chastening as nations. The chastening will be in relation to the aeon, and will therefore, be an aeon chastening. As soon as one is ready for the kingdom, the chastening ceases, and the nations is taken into the kingdom. The case of Gog and allied nations, mentioned in Zech 38 and 39, is another instance of chastening. That federation of nations will be chastened by being caused to attack Israel. The latter does not have to lift a hand in its own defense. God takes care of the situation. Surely such chastening will be salutary for those nations being exercised by it. The point is, there is nothing final in Matthew ampersand number 151 nor, indeed, in any of the circumcision scriptures. The very latest date found in any of them is the aeon that follows the so-called millennium. When I say circumcision scriptures, I mean everything in the collection, outside Paul's writings. He gives a later date than does any other passage, for he takes us beyond the aeons, and shows God as all in all, Isaiah 15:28. How can all be saved, in view of the unpardonable sin? There is no such thing. Christ says, that every sin and blasphemy shall be pardoned, Matt. 12:31. But he says there is one that shall not be pardoned in relation to the aeon. To a Jew, the aeon meant what the millennium means to us. Those who spoke against the Son of Mankind, demanding that he be put to death, are pardoned. But those who resisted the ministry of the apostles under the direction of the Holy Spirit, as recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, died without being prepared for the kingdom, and will not be pardoned until the aeon has passed by. This is not vindictiveness on the part of God. It just naturally follows that those who are dead during the aeon will have no pardon for the aeon. A passage that is often ignored is Isaiah 4:10. God is the savior of all mankind, especially of those who believe. Not all enter into the joys of salvation during the aeons. Those who do, are believers. They are the elect, and are saved ahead of the rest, because there is certain service for them to perform. It is not because God loves them better than he does the rest of mankind. It is because he has a use for them before he has a use for the rest of mankind. This is the difference between aeonian everlasting life, and life. The elect will have aeonian life during the last two aeons, after the Lord comes for his saints and takes them to heaven. The chosen ones in Israel will be brought into the kingdom of Israel. Those who do not have life during the aeons will not have aeonian life, miscalled everlasting or eternal life. But when the aeons are past, all mankind will have life, and there is no need of an adjective to describe it. It is life. Death will have been abolished and sin will have been repudiated. God is the aeonian God. This does not mean that he is not God before and after the aeons. When we need him is during the aeons, when sin and death are present. In Rome 16:26 he is called the aeonian God, everlasting God in the King James Version. Believers have aeonian life. All shall have endless life. This is assured, not by the words eternal and everlasting, but by the use of the word immortal. Believers will have aeonian life. Others will not have life until the aeons have passed. They will then have life. And, as death will have been abolished, it is necessarily endless life, especially since it is said that we shall be immortal and incorruptible. The doctrine of the salvation of all is satisfying to the spirit and to the mind, as well. And why should it not be this way? God loves all mankind. He does not hate anyone in relation to endless life. He cannot, for he is love. He hated Esau in relation to the headship of Israel, but this is not endless. God's hatred is not like ours. It merely means that the hated one is not preferred for a certain blessing and service. There is no one whom he prefers above another, for endless life. For aeonian life ampersand number 151 yes. But not for life in the great expanse of duration beyond the aeons. He wills all mankind to be saved. Isaiah 2, 3-6. No one can believe in the great doctrine of the salvation of all mankind without believing in grace. For all must recognize that the great majority of humans do not merit anything except destruction. Return to main index page.